I just got a text message from someone you mentioned last week, Jason. And I'm excited to invite him back on the show. But the doctor, Dr. Fang, he's coming back.
Ed.
The doctor, Dr. Ed Fang, is going to make his return to the show at some point. We have it's all back. It is amazing how once sports comes back, you know, everybody wants to come back on. It's just amazing. We're gonna have Tim Brando on the show next week. I believe he's going to be on the call for Memphis UNLV.
Ooh-wee. Can't get more ready than you can having Tim Brando.
Dr. Ed Fang.
Dr. Ed Fang will have us ready with the numbers.
Now, one gentleman who I believe we will not hear from this year, it's Adam Chernoff.
Rest in peace.
We've gotten, now he's still.
In terms of his presence on this show, dead though.
I think it mostly is.
Because he's not doing media anymore.
He's not doing media. He's focused on, I could be wrong on this. I believe he's maybe gotten a hair transplant.
What does that have to do with anything? Well, were radio hits. He didn't have to be seen. The hair didn't have to be seen.
But he's also deadlifting 500 now. He says he's really gone all in on his health. So.
He got a hair transplant and he's lifting heavy. So he's going all in on appearance and trying to change his look.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know what
It's not just a health thing when you do the hair.
That's true.
This is about a new look.
Yeah.
And a new Adam Chernoff.
Yes. Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, you're right.
So he's just transforming.
I think he is transforming.
Okay.
Absolutely
right. All
right.
Well, let's just take him off the list.
And I would say this, hair transplants in 2026 are very common.
Are they?
Yeah, I mean, everybody does it. You go to Turkey. You go to Istanbul. Get the things.
When you say everybody, we talking about white people?
Yeah, I mean, Landon Donovan.
White.
He got that joint. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Does the transplant work as well? Because it's a different grade of hair and kind. That's what I'm saying.
Great question.
I would like to know the numbers on this. You're talking about everybody goes.
It probably does not.
The percentage on that's going to be pretty high.
And I appreciate you. I appreciate you. You know, asking me to stop short because
those transplants are different. I imagine
they have to be because you can't put, you know, white hair on a black man.
Not and get away with it.
You look like James Brown.
I mean, where do you think you're going to get away with that?
Right.
Not in Memphis.
I mean, you could get that perm. You know what I'm saying? But it's just not. You just don't want to do that,
right?
You know what I mean. So,
I didn't realize how popular they were, though.
They're all the rage. Getting them. They're all the rage. Yeah, if you get like a receding hairline, you know, again, as a white male, I would just like, if you know, it's a certain type of hair. Again, I think I could probably get you in with someone if you're asking.
I really don't. No, I've given up. You know, the brothers will use the spray. They'll go to
right.
the spray.
Right.
I think a lot more than they will the transplant. I don't have too many brothers, friends. I don't have any. That have done the hair transplant. I've got some that use the spray. But for you guys, it's a completely different.
It is.
And for Chernoff, clearly.
Right, right.
He just decided to go that route.
And, you know, some people are not comfortable wearing a hat to, you know, cover it up. You know, some people are. I mean.
I've gotten so comfortable with my baldness. I mean, more faster than I thought I would.
Yeah.
Really come to grips
with
it.
Are you really bald?
For the most part. I mean, I get it shaved so low now, it's frankly bald. Yeah. Practically murder one over here. So hat on, hat off. As long as I'm, you know, I go get it, the rest of it shaved off. It's easy.
Yeah,
it's easy for the rest of the 2 weeks.
But it's not a bad look for you though. Huh? I mean, the bald it just looks like it's a close shave.
I think it's going to look a lot better than me trying to piece it together with a transplant
you don't want to do the line.
Some ass hair on my head.
Right. You don't.
Like, where do you get that hair?
Good question. For that, I don't know. I know we did the line for the athletic headshot, but that was a headshot. That was a professional headshot, you know.
Yeah.
And it looked good.
I still had enough hair to justify it then.
Right, 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 right.
Yep.
So we're celebrating the return of many.
Dr. Fang, who's got a good head of hair.
Great head of hair that I know of. But we also are lamenting the departure of others, you know. And, you know, that as part of this show, it's going to come, man. It's going to happen. Yeah,
strange that he's weightlifting and did a hair transplant.
Yeah. Maybe someday we can get him, but it's not going to be a regular thing like it once was. So, unfortunately, we'll be a little less smart on NFL, but that's the way she goes. We'll have to figure out how to replace it. All right. Every day around this time we do the rundown, let's get it. Did we?
No, yeah. We didn't.
All right. Last night in the preseason, Mendo, as I call him, Fernando Mendoza, got his first start ever. I mean, it does count. He didn't start against the Cardinals. He came in on the second drive. And, you know, it was a little bit of a struggle. He threw a pick six. Yes, that is indeed going to be the lasting image of Fernando Mendoza's start. He was 8 of 15 for 86 yards with a pick six. Did take a sack there. Was not a great start. And really the most, I think, disturbing thing for me is that this is mostly our team. Like, no Genty, sure. No Bowers, okay. But Jalen Naylor, he's out there. He's our number one receiver. I mean, that's our best guy. No Trey Tucker, I guess, if you want to say him. But, man, we suck. We truly suck. And I know we won the game technically because, you know, the Texans turned it over to Brett Rippon, who they just brought in last week because Graham Mertz tore his ACL. So Brett Rippon, who I believe, I want to say, played for you guys. If I'm not mistaken, I feel like you guys had a little Brett Rippon action there a couple of years ago.
I feel like that's probably true. I think that's true.
You know, obviously you've put it out of your memory.
Because we're so set at QB.
Yeah, he played for the Bears in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I remember that in the preseason at the very least. but yeah, he's out there for the Texans now. And the Raiders took advantage. But, you know, in the end, this defense is absolutely horrific. And again, no Max Crosby. So maybe that changes it, but it hasn't changed it for the last 5 years. We've been a very, you know, lacking unit on the whole there defensively. So, yeah, we suck. We'll be a top five pick, no doubt about it. I think the win total for them is 6.5. That is an under all day long. They are not winning 7 games. I don't care if it's Kirk. I don't care if it's Mendoza. It does not matter. We don't have enough. This is going to continue to be a rebuild. And like the question is like, how do you make sense of Kubiak, right? Like, I mean, it was pretty obvious the difference when you guys hired Ben Johnson. A, because you had a year of Caleb under his belt. You know, he had to suffer well through Eberflus.
Yeah, that wasn't much well suffering, and that was just about poor, bad suffering.
But then by the time Ben Johnson got his paws on him, he was ready to go to the next level, which is exactly what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it was easy to evaluate. I don't know if it'll be easy to evaluate in that same regard for Clint Kubiak because, I mean, his charge is doing it now. But the team sucks. They'll be a top five team again, in my opinion, draft. C.J. Stroud looked good. He was out there 4-6, 27 yards, a couple first downs. Did his job.
I like the haircut.
Yeah.
And he looks sharp.
It's a new C.J.
And he's back in form with those pads on, looking tight and right.
That's right. The walk, though. We got the walk.
You've gotten on him for his gait going into camp.
Well, it's still there. The gait is still the problem. It's like a waddle. It's like you shouldn't be – the gait should not – like your feet should not turn outward, you know? It's just a very strange gait for an NFL athlete. You know, you'd expect like, you know.
Maybe it's why, I mean, he's not as mobile as the most mobile quarterbacks.
Right. No,
if you're saying the feet go out and he's been battling all of his life, way you make it sound.
It's like baggy shorts.
I don't think it's that serious.
And it's like you're trying to keep your pants from falling off your ass or something. It's just a very strange gait is the best way I could put it. But you know what? He's an NFL quarterback, and he's pretty damn good when he's protected. So
yes.
That's going to be the key for them. Didn't have to do very much. There was no Nico Collins out there or anything. It was Woody Marks running all over us.
Would you take him over Mendoza right now?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Making fun of him.
The gait is still just a problem, but I definitely.
The gait ain't weirder than the way Mendoza talks, so get over it.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, we see? Yeah, I mean, he definitely is, you know, I believe the spectrum is what Brad said. You know, there's definitely an element of that to it. But yeah, we sucked last night, even though we won. The meaningful players suck. Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff you have to like really think about. Even though it was a win, who cares? Who cares what the third and fourth string guys did against the third and fourth string?
You're building a new culture.
Yeah.
It does matter. In the end, it will matter.
Yeah.
Everybody in that locker room, John, you're trying to flip the thing. You got Tom Brady's running it now. No more Mark Davis running it.
Yeah.
So every win matters.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little bit more of a pat on the back there.
Well, Dub, that's our first preseason win.
Yeah, coming off of a win. We suck. That's the take.
Since,
yeah.
Well, I mean,
y'all do right now. You're coming out of it, hopefully.
Yeah. That's our first preseason win since 2024.
Good Lord.
Yeah. Been that long. We went winless last year with Pete. So
just stop the whole charade about the whole, we still have a quarterback battle here. Just stop that part, and you'll look a lot like a professional football team, which, frankly, is progress for you guys, for this franchise.
Exactly yes. Right. Well said. So, anyway, that was a preseason. Oh, can I give you tonight? Can I give you the rundown tonight?
Oh, please do.
You know I'd like to give you your tasting menu.
Well, I'd also like to know, you had 10 bets last week. I'd also like to hear how many you've placed this week, but just give us tomorrow's slate.
Last night, I literally went 2-2. I had...
Well, that's better than last week's run.
I had Houston first half, and I had Raiders full game. So I got very lucky there. Can't even imagine how lucky. But then
you come in here talking about your team sucks. That's weird.
Then I had the Chargers first half and full game, and that went over too.
That's why you weren't happy about Herbert only playing a few plays.
Yeah, I mean, stupid ass.
That adds up.
I mean, they didn't even get a first down. Okay. What was the point of putting him out there?
Now I see.
I would have never bet the Chargers in the first half if I knew that was literally the plan.
Of course you wouldn't have.
I mean, who would? You know? Yeah. I mean, at least let the man move the chains.
Harbaugh didn't tell anybody.
I mean,
sorry about that.
I mean, I know he said one series, but like that wasn't even a series. That was like an out. So
well, but we're moving ahead. We're moving forward.
We have no choice.
To tomorrow's game.
We didn't lose anything. We didn't win, but we didn't lose. It could have been a big night last night. It was not. We have to move on to Friday. So tonight, what do you need to watch? Geno Smith is going to get out there for the Jets. He was supposed to play last week, and then he had some foot soreness come up. And so he didn't end up playing. It was Kay Klubnik. He's going to play tonight on the road at Pittsburgh. The Jets are a 1.5-point favorite. I have Jets first half -1.5.
Because Geno's playing.
Yeah, no starters for the Steelers. It's going to be Will Howard and Drew Aller.
Get in, get out. Get the points, get out of there.
Because you saw what happened with the Raiders game. They were up 20-3 at the half.
That's right.
And they just put the jabronis in and,
gave it all back.
All hell broke loose.
Yep.
Panthers-Jags tonight. I believe there will be starters for the Panthers. You will see Bryce Young out there for the Panthers and the starters. Liam Cohen was talking about playing the starters, but it sounds like he has since changed his mind on that. Like these joints, if they feel like you get enough out of the joints, they say there's no reason to do the games.
So Ben's talking about with Cincy, but sounds like Sammy Pete thinks we might see him.
Yeah, that was interesting. Well, I don't from the people that I talked
that you
to.
You talked to on the other side.
Yeah, they don't think Caleb's coming out. Maybe ever this preseason.
But
maybe Sammy's hearing something. But yes, Bryce Young is going to be out there for the Panthers, and then Packers Broncos. Bo Nix is going to play, as is Jordan Love. This is a double starter game.
Oh wow!
Double starter game at 8 o'clock on NFL Network. Jordan Love always plays these fake-ass preseason series. He's never good. He's never sharp. And then they pull him after one series. LaFleur does not play with that stuff. He did it last week against the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they scored a field goal, and that was it for him. Mm. So, the Broncos are sick. They are the sickest in the preseason. Sean Payton has not lost a preseason game in a long time because you go from Bo Nix to Stidham.
Yeah.
And it's like they're just ridiculous in terms of that handoff. So I have the Broncos -5.5.
If I gave you $100 and I say, John, pick me the NFC North winner, which team would you pick? Would you go Detroit too?
No.
I'm just saying pick winner. We're not talking value. We're not talking nothing. I'm just saying, John, pick me the winner.
I think I'd still go Bears just because I'm a believer in Ben. I'm a believer in Caleb.
I mean, the stuff Sammy's saying about the defense, it is not, bro. They were living on turnovers last year. The defense was not good. It was one of the worst defenses. You talk about yards getting allowed in the league.
They were.
So there are still big-time question marks, and you've lost some guys going in.
Yeah.
Kobe Bryant on the backside, and you still have not got anything proven on the opposite side of sweat. So there's still reasons for doubt. I was just curious, really, if when you mentioned Jordan Love, actually, I was curious whether you'd go Detroit or Green Bay.
When you look at the Lions roster, it definitely is hard not to like them.
Uh huh.
But I part of me just wonders if they've just kind of topped out a little bit.
Well, the part that Sammy touched on, we know you've lost some creativity offensively.
Right.
That doesn't necessarily mean you've lost effectiveness when you've got the kind of players that they've got.
Yes.
So you can still be good. Last year, reason they didn't make it was because of injuries, as they pointed out. So with those licked, guys healthy, you figure they'll be back. I figured it'd be Detroit or Green Bay. Wasn't looking for a Bears answer there.
Green Bay is just kind of underwhelming to me. The Lions are the favorite +170, Packers +250. This is at Caesars, and then the Bears are 3-1.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's tough. Like, you would say the Lions, but I don't know. I just something just feels a little off with them since they lost Ben Johnson. You know, and they also lost Aaron Glenn. They lost both those guys the same year. And,
well, it tells me too you're a real believer in what we got going on.
I am.
You are.
I mean, it's like it's magical. You know
what you're doing offensively is.
Yeah. Yes, so yes. It's hard to.
But Sammy's right. For a head coach now, it's not just about the offense. Ben's got to get that defensive side licked too. He needs Ryan Poles' help with that, though. That's part of it as well. You got to get some personnel.
So basically, the only change you guys made defensively is drafting Thinneman.
Thinneman and bringing in Kobe Bryant to replace basically Byard, and you know, because Byard had 7-8 picks last year.
And Kobe Bryant's out for the.
And Kobe's out basically for the year now.
Golly.
Yeah. Paid him. He was our biggest free agent signing.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yep.
That might be. I might have had a bad answer there.
And it just doesn't look like we're going to produce sacks or get any kind of
right,
rush. So,
right. Anyway. Well, there you have it. That's Caleb your preseason tasting menu tonight. Three games tonight and then a whole slate tomorrow.
How about this story? We haven't talked about it. There was quite the scene over there near Treadwell Middle School. That's where Jerry the King Lawler had a street named after him, designated honorary, the Jerry King Lawler Street. That happened yesterday. The Treadwell Middle School band and cheerleaders hyped up a crowd. I'm reading from the Daily Memphian story. Brandon Legrone wrote over at dailymemphian.com. In Grahamwood, near the intersection of Homer Street and Given Avenue, there was a wrestling ring out there. The pictures, there was Dr. Harrington, the former mayor of Memphis, was out there as well. As you would expect, the mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart was out there. Jerry talked about always being introduced as Jerry Lawler from Memphis, Tennessee, and how that was always important to him, no matter what arena he was in, more so what town he was in. He would make sure that he was announced from Memphis, Tennessee, because the pride he felt, and a former Treadwell High School star and standout and graduate, obviously. But it was a great day, man, because it really, if you look at the pictures, it really brought out a cross-section, everybody, all walks of Memphians, Jerry Lawler. In this street being named in his honor. And that's basically, you know, sort of sums up his career, because he touched folks all over town and all walks, all creeds, all races and everything else. And so to see the pictures from out there and how everybody seemed to be reveling in it for Jerry to have this street aptly named after him, really cool and really, really Memphis. Nothing more Memphis than those photos and this story here. So Lawler now 76, again, had a chance to reflect on that time growing up in that community. Really cool story yesterday, and you can read Brandon's story about it over at dailymemphian.com.
They said you're going to drop a deuce on Jerry Lawler Street, man.
No, they didn't. No, they never said that, because I have a great respect for Jerry.
Yeah. No, it's an honor. It's a deserved honor.
Well, frankly, I'm surprised we haven't done this beforehand, yeah. Really. With what he's meant to this city and how he, you know, really with WWE and how he took us national.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a prominent Memphian who repped and you know, was absolutely a pioneer in many ways. You think about the territory, you think about the region. I mean, yeah, he was very much responsible for helping Memphis, you know, be on the map with professional wrestling. I mean, everybody knew Jerry Lawler was from Memphis. They knew who he repped. So, you know, this is definitely overdue. It's definitely deserved. Looked like a very sweet. But, you know, here's the thing. It's like, I think there's so much to be said for giving people the flowers while they're still here to enjoy them, too. You know, like you didn't want to wait for Jerry Lawler to move on to the upper room, right? Before, you know, I mean, give people the satisfaction of knowing that I have a street named after me in my hometown, right? I don't want to die, and then they do it after, and then, you know, my family gets to enjoy. I want to enjoy that, too. It's my life. Mm-hmm. I want to cut the ribbon. I want to be a part of it. I want to be a part of the ceremony.
Dave Brown was also out there.
Dave Brown's out there. You know, who wouldn't want to enjoy
that?
That's
really cool.
You know? Who wouldn't want someday, where I grew up, Pepperwood Street, to be named after, not Peckerwood, Pepperwood. For all those people out there who want to make jokes, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't want Pepperwood Street to be renamed JM Street? I mean, and be there to see it. And be there to see the green sign be changed, right, to JM Avenue.
Yeah.
Or JM Cove, as it were. You know what I'm saying? So, I'm a big believer in giving people. Don't wait until people die or get sick or whatever the case may be. And this doesn't even have to be about naming a street, right? But it's about, like, if you care about somebody, if you think highly of someone, we tend to only say nice things about people until after they die or something bad happens to them, you know. Just if you're thinking about somebody in your life and you're proud of what they're doing, man, just tell them you're proud of them. Just tell them that, you know, hey, I think you're doing a great job, or I love what you did with this, or I love what you did with that, or, you know what I'm saying? We don't do enough of that as humans. We just wait until something horrible happens, and then we say, man, this guy was the best. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, meanwhile, every day we don't, you know, and I'm not saying you do that every day, but I'm just saying, hey, man, I really appreciate, Jason, the way you come to work, and you're a professional.
I'm stacking.
And the way you stack days, right? And the way that you can roll with the punches no matter what's going on in the world. You know, I appreciate that about. I don't want you to have to be on your deathbed and you're sick. You got E. coli from the blueberries to tell you that, man. You know?
I appreciate it.
So I think we got to do more of that in this life. And I'm glad that Jerry got to experience that and enjoy that and see that. And, you know, I don't know what's next for him. I'm sure he'll get back in the ring right there on Jerry Lawler Street. One more match, Jerry, right there on your own street. Let's do it.
He's 70-something.
That's fine.
We don't need another match to define him.
We can do it.
No.
We can do it.
He's done enough.
This is it, man.
That's the point.
I need to see one more pile driver.
How about Treadwell? Not just him, but Jimmy Hart. I didn't really. Jimmy is Treadwell alumni, too. Those guys in Treadwell. You talk about EP and freaking Penny Hardaway.
Yeah.
The greatness that Treadwell High produced. Of course, it shut down in 2009. But, it might be better than White Station.
Yeah.
In terms of the names. Lawler and Penny right there at the top. Elliot Perry, Mr. Yeah. Memphis.
Yep. Yep. I mean, we're hurting. I mean,
I don't know if our history compares to Treadwell's.
We got Kathy Bates.
You can't keep putting her up there.
We got Kathy Bates. We had Dan Schneider before he got caught with the kids. Or, you know, accused.
Again, I think, all due respect, I think Lawler body slams Kathy Bates.
I mean, he does, but I'm just saying, who's more famous?
As does Penny.
Who's more famous? You think Jerry Lawler is more famous than Kathy Bates?
Kathy Bates' career, bro, is winding down, okay?
Well, so is Jerry.
We can't keep talking about misery.
So is Jerry, though.
You got him and Penny, who's going to be a Hall of Famer. Is Kathy Bates going to be in the Acting Hall of Fame?
Does she have an Oscar?
Academy Award? Yeah, I mean, she's one of the biggest actors out there.
She was.
Oh, just like Jerry was.
She was. She was. Jerry was just on top of the announcing game in WWE, man. What, less than 10 years ago? Was he not?
Yeah, I mean, Kathy Bates has won an Academy Award, 2 Primetime Emmys, 2 Golden Globes, and 2 Screen Actors Guild Awards. I mean, she is up there. She is up there. Who is better
Does it put her in a Hall of Fame of acting?
Oh, is there a Hall of Fame of acting? I mean, she is one of few performers to be nominated in acting categories for Tony Award, 1 Tony Award, 4 Academy Awards, and 14 Emmy Awards.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
what Hall of Fame is she in?
I think she's on the Walk of Fame in Hollywood.
Is Jerry on the Walk of Fame?
Is Jerry in the WWE Hall of Fame?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Of course he is.
That he is, sure.
You're dang right he is.
But he was a hell of a wrestling guy.
I think you're getting it from Brad. Brad will respect that. And I feel him. He don't respect the damn bit about the WWE Hall of Fame. He thinks that's the sandbox. And I get it. You know, we're talking about real life acting. You know, I guess both are acting in a way.
Yes.
But, I mean, if they're who was better at their peak, Kathy Bates, Jerry Lawler? I think it's an interesting conversation because Jerry did run it for a hot minute when he was at.
Kathy Bates box office?
Huge box office.
I don't know. If she's
no
box office.
Misery.
She was part.
No,
of...
No, those movies made a lot, but she's not box office in the way that Halle Berry was box office. You know what I'm saying? Or I don't know, Kate Hudson, one of y'all's. That's what I'm saying. Yes, she's a great actress. She's not box office. Were you packing them in to see her?
Yeah, no, she's not.
You're
that.
Packing them in for the movie.
She's not that.
And for the performance. Yeah. You pack them in to see Jerry, didn't you? Back in the day when he was at his
yes.
Did he pack them in?
He did.
He packed them in.
He did do that. He did do that.
Y'all need to stop pushing down your own.
It would have probably been like, you know.
But I guess both of these are our own.
1993, 94. You know, I would have said that would have probably been the Bret Hart era.
And y'all got Kathy fighting off Lawler. Can she fight off Lawler, Penny, and Elliot Perry? Like, you're going to need somebody else from White Station in the fight.
Yeah.
You can't use Kathy alone all the time.
No, that's true. I mean, we're lacking. There's no doubt.
This time, but between Elliott and Anthony, they're throwing alley-oops all over our head.
I mean, Jerry Lawler, for a time, and it was brief, but for a time, I think about him interrupting that Bret Hart ceremony, you know, at King of the Ring in 92, 93. Like, that dude was
as big as it got.
He was the heel.
Yes.
He was the heel in wrestling. So, was Kathy Bates ever the anything in acting? No, but her
body
the
of work.
Conglomerate.
I get what you're saying. His body of work, very impressive as well.
It is. I mean, he was a heavyweight champ. I mean, I don't.
Not box office, though. That's where I got you and started to get you over here on my side.
What did he win, the Intercontinental in WWE?
Brad was hauling the family over to see Misery.
I mean,
packing the family car to go see it. No, it was a great movie, great performance. Y'all might be holding Kathy up too high, though.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought.
Did Jerry Lawler win a World Heavyweight Championship? AWA, but not WWE. I don't know what he did in the WWE in terms of the belt.
Kathy Bates, according to ChatGPT, is bigger career.
Did you just ask ChatGPT to say if a wrestler or an actress had a bigger career?
It says overall she had a bigger career with an Oscar win, multiple Emmys, major films, major TV roles, and a broader mainstream recognition. Jerry Lawler wins if the category is wrestling legacy.
Well, obviously, because Kathy Bates didn't
get in the ring.
But
this is where we have to be able to separate the computers from our own minds, Brad.
That's why I appreciate him.
We can't ask them to do all the work.
I appreciate him consulting.
I was just looking at a reference.
Just an opinion. No, I like it. I get it.
I get what you're trying to find a baseline.
In other words, just the algorithm gets to vote on it rather than
that's
a person.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
But obviously was it ChatGPT?
Yeah.
Obviously ChatGPT is skewed more towards the thespian side than the professional wrestling side.
Does Kathy Bates have a street named after her in the city?
She does not, but should she, maybe?
ChatGPT would say so.
I think she should. I think we could name South Perkins Kathy Bates Street.
Kathy Bates Extended.
Yeah, Kathy Bates Extended. That's right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it for her, Brad.
Yeah.
Because she deserves it, doesn't she?
Kathy Bates Extended.
She does. That's
our next one.
And let's do it while she's still alive, guys.
Got to.
Let's get her back.
Got to. You don't want to do it after. Posthumously, just don't hit the
screen. And I saw her recently on American Horror Story.
There you go, yeah.
She's up there in age. We got to do this quickly.
Yep.
Good, guys.
Exactly.
Thanks.
All right, we'll come back. Lots more to come here on the show. Anthony Sane on the other side. Sticking around. J&J, 92.5 ESPN.
Is the host of the Anthony Sane Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every weekday, 4 p.m. Be joining him today at 4. So we do our home and home here, the underground king of Biffa Sports Media, independent journalist and founder of Asylum Media Group, weekly contributor on Grizzbeat on Ground City Media, and father of 2032 football prospect Gabriel Sane. You can follow Anthony Sane on X at Sane Asylum. Sane, we just saw the great Jerry Lawler have a street have a street dedicated and named after him yesterday. Who's next, Sane? Who do we really need to reward with a street while they're still alive, giving them the flowers? Well, who's next on the same
list? Are we doing sports world? Are we doing sports?
We can hit whatever you want, brother. If it's an actor or actress, if it's the next sports person that needs to have a street named after him in Memphis, who is deserving and who's next on the list that we need to hit?
Being somebody that not only now, but has been kind of involved in the youth thing for a long time, working with the kids or whatever.
Yep.
An athlete that is a literal like Bruce Wayne out here, like a lot of people don't know that he's Batman in real life, is Elliott Perry. I don't think a lot of people understand what he does for this city and what he has done for the city when it comes down to the kids coming through here. He's just a tremendous anthropologist. Is that right?
Philanthropist.
Yeah. Philanthropist. Yeah.
I mean, he could study anthropology
at Memphis.
He could be that.
Yeah. Okay.
He might be. He's a lot of stuff, man. He might have a fascination with bug life as well. So, but yeah. Elliott Perry is amazing. I think he's an amazing guy.
That.
Every time I see him, I damn near bow to him. He's an awesome, awesome individual when it comes down to doing things for the city. He'd probably be next.
Another treadmill graduate, by the way. Him and
yeah,
all
of course,
are both treadmill.
Yeah,
of course,
Penny is another guy who I don't know. Penny, I'm assuming Penny already has a street, baby. Penny Hardaway has a street here already, I'd assume?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think there's a Penny Hardaway street.
I don't feel like he's had a dedication of a street.
I definitely don't think so.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting.
I'm sure one day, but like, you know, my whole thing in the last thing we were talking about Jerry Lawler saying was like, let's give people their flowers while they're still here to enjoy them, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Because like, don't wait until something tragic happens to me. I can't walk or something to do something for me, you know?
Coming to America too. When King Joffrey, Joe Furr, he had his funeral while he was alive. That was pretty dope. I think I want to go out like that too. That seems pretty fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, there was an NBA trade earlier this week. Peyton Watson to the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't know how much worse it makes the Denver Nuggets, but we know that it's a trade that doesn't make them better, which in the long run has to be good news, even if indirectly for the Grizz.
Yeah, I don't know if I talked about this with you guys, but the Western Conference is not westerning like it's been westerning over the last, you know, more than a decade. It seems like the Eastern Conference, dare I say, might be better than the West this year. So that definitely helps the Grizzlies if they're a team who's trying to get in. If a team like Denver falls off, they'd have to fall out dramatically. I still think Denver's going to be, you know, a playoff play-in team. But that team is kind of it's more so not the short form, but the long form, long-term. Situation with them, because this can't make Jokic any happy to go into the summer and you come out with a 2031 unprotected first round pick. I'm sure he couldn't care less about that. So that's a bad thing. And it seems like the inevitable is about to happen, man. I talked about this on my show yesterday. Had a meltdown, man. As y'all know, I am a huge proponent of USA basketball and American basketball. And if I have to look up and see Luka and Jokic on the same team in a year or so, I'm really gonna be disgusted. Go USA and no place else, man. I don't want to see that at all.
What do we think about that Cleveland team now and what it's done?
What did they do? Oh, by getting him, they're still not going to be good. Like, they'll be like regular season good, but that team. Okay, bro. I talked about this yesterday too. Like Kenny asked me about. I said there are certain teams that all your life they've tried to be the best team in the NBA. And every year their goal is to be the best team in the NBA. They might not be that, but their only sense of success is to being the best team in the NBA. That's teams like the Lakers, teams like the Celtics, the San Antonio Spurs, you know, even like teams like the Miami Heat, right, for the most part of our adult lives.
Okay.
That organization has been focused on championships and championships only.
Yep.
Teams like Denver, they're not there, man. Like, they got their championship with Jokic. And it seems like now they're just, let's just keep people in the building. We've got the best player in the world. You know, we don't really want to do the things that it takes to be, you know, this elite team or whatever. And it's about to be what it is. And then that turned into a conversation about the Grizzlies, like what I think the Grizzlies are. And I think if the Grizzlies were a team that were trying to do that, we would still have John Moran on this team, because he's a guy that you would kind of lean into we got a marketable guy. Let's just keep him around and let's let it be what it is. But for us to make that type of move, it seems that they're trying to actually build a team that's built right. Right. And I talked about how the Grizzlies, we talked about this a few times last year about how this Grizzlies team just has not been structured well. When you had a backcourt of two guys that are scorers, not really good defenders, your point guards undersized, can't really shoot the ball well, all those type of things. And then Jaren was the biggest albatross on the team, right? Jaren was a 7-foot power forward who can't rebound, can't really do a lot of the physical things. So because of that, you got to have another big behind him, true big behind him. And Jaren also can't guard on the perimeter. He's not a guy that can guard the best player on the other team, right? A lot of teams, their power forward is a guy that also is a guy that can guard out on the perimeter. And we didn't have either one of those in Jaren. And it just kind of made this roster kind of wonky. That Cleveland situation is the same thing. With Evan Mobley, right? Like, you got to have a Jared Allen behind him because he's another 7-footer that can't play center. And then your guards are two guards who they can score a lot of points, but they really can't defend. And it's just the same kind of thing, right? They're going to be a really good team. And they added a guy like Watson, who I think is going to help out a lot. But that team is just not – it's just not structured well to be a championship-level team, in my opinion.
Yeah,
we're all right.
Yeah, and again, what James Harden, I did see cross the. He's one of four players now to have crossed $500 million.
Oh, it's crazy! Wow, earnings. What a time to be alive, man!
Over 30.
What a time to be in the league, bro. For real, to make $500 million in your NBA career and you're still playing.
We were talking about this earlier in the show that the NBA valuations, not even just on players, but there is obviously a trickle down effect or a trickle up effect with franchises, because the Timberwolves just had a valuation today of $4.5 billion, and the Grizzlies right now, as of February, would have a valuation of like 3.75 billion, according to CNBC. Yeah. Like, it's just crazy. Like, the best investment in the history of the world was to buy an NBA team in 2012, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
If you did that, you're a billionaire now.
Who was it? Was it the Clippers? Yeah, the Clippers, when they sold a few years ago, when they sold for $1 billion, I remember my mouth popped open like, damn, this seems to worth $1 billion. Like, this is crazy. $1 billion. But then you look up now, and the Grizzlies are worth, what'd you say, $3.5 billion?
Yes.
That's crazy, bro.
Yes.
Like, that whole thing is that's really mind blowing when you really think about it, for sure. Yeah. But I guess that's good. As a fan of the NBA, I guess it's good to see that they are, you know, a thriving company like that, that their organization, excuse me, their organizations have that type of value. I guess that's a big deal, for sure.
Son, you had Jalen Wells on Wednesday. How about that?
Yeah, man.
Big time.
It was dope. We had Jalen came on the show. I typically do the show here from my palatial home studio in Whitehaven. But we did this with the Grind City Brewing, yep. One of our sponsors, one of the network sponsors. Had a great time, man. We did it as an interview and also as a fundraising opportunity for his organization, Sleep Nation. And Jalen came out. Had a great time with him, man. He was very candid. We talked about the you know, his soon-to-be marriage and things like that, and asked him when did he realize his fiance was the one. Also asked him a couple of hardball questions, you know, just to see. I kind of pinned him in the corner to see if he could get out, and he got out very well. Jalen is a very intelligent and very mature young man, you know. And I asked him, I basically talked about, you know, the logjam at the wing position. Like, when he got there, he was one of a kind. Like, it was him. And, you know, you had Gigi, but Gigi was hurt, and Vince Williams was hurt. And you had Marcus Smart, but he was hurt. And then Jalen was kind of the only guy. So he was the starter, and he earned the right to be that. But you look at this roster now, you got G.C. Jackson, you got when you're talking about the 3-and-D model, Jeremy Grant, who's like one of the prototypes in the whole 3-and-D thing, right? And then you got, you know, you got Maxence Prosper, you got all these different wings on this, all these versatile wings on this team. And he said it's a competition thing. He said, I'm out there to compete, and I think it just makes the team better. And he said that, you know, if I end up not being good enough and there's another guy starting in front of me, it just means I got to work harder to prove who I am in this league. And I was like, I thought that was an amazing way to answer that question. And I also asked him what matchups was he looking forward to this year. And the first thing that came out of his mouth was the matchups against Portland and guarding John Morant. So, yeah, I think Jalen's an amazing guy. I hope he's around here for a while. I think Jalen is going to be a career rotation player. I don't think his destiny with the Grizzlies is as a starter, but that doesn't take away from him being just a great citizen. Absolutely. He talks about that as well, too, man. He talks about how much he actually loves the city of Memphis. And he said that, you know, we always listen to what these people on the outside who are coming in for a 24-hour stay have to say about Memphis, but we very seldom ask the players who actually live here,
right,
and build families here and get married here, find a wife and all these type of things, and invest back into the city. It's like we act like that doesn't exist, right? It's like we ask these people who are visitors, but there are actual millionaires on this team that don't say these things about Memphis, right? So he gave some very, very glowing reviews of Memphis, right? He said that, you know, me and my fiance, we spent about 6 weeks in Atlanta. He was like, Atlanta's cool, but it ain't Memphis. It ain't home. I'm ready to go back home. And he talked about how much he loves the city and the culture here and how he's glad to be an actual citizen of the city of Memphis. And that's the type of things that don't get the press, you know what I mean? The guys who actually live here. He's not from the South. He's from California, and he lives here, and him and his wife plan on raising children here. And I just thought that was great of him to say.
Yeah, great stuff, Saint, as always.
Awesome get, brother.
For sure, man.
Thanks for the time, as always. Have a great weekend.
All right, brother.
Is Anthony Saint from the Anthony Saint Show. Check it out on YouTube, Bluff City Media. All right, we'll come back, wrap this up on a Friday. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Tomorrow, it is the 60% off sale at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 6 hours starting at 10. You got 6 hours to get 60% off everything in the showcase. Diamond pendants, designer jewelry, diamond rings, engagement rings, wedding bands. 10 a.m., 4 p.m., 376 Perkins across from Laurel Wood Shopping Center.
It doesn't have to be engagement time in your life to take advantage of a sale like this. Maybe you want a nice little makeup gift real quick. Don't want to pay too much for it. It's a good time to go out and hit Howie up while he's got this 60% sale going on. Maybe it's a gift you get now to give later. Now you're really using that thinking cap. If you go do that, again, it's only happening at the Perkins Extended Store, the Diamond Showroom, as we call it, over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And yes, if it is time to pop the question, there's no better person to go see, and there's no better time to do it. To go see Howie over at Robert Irwin Jewelers right now. Very important. This sale starts at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. You're going to want to be there when those doors open up at 376 Perkins, of course, across from Laurelwood Shopping Center. Goes till 4, but again, get there earliest for best selection because this stuff's going to go at 60% off. For complete details, visit rijewelers.com or you can follow them on social media for more information at RI Jewelers.
All right, we're back. J&J, 92.9 FM, ESP. And big weekend, and by the time we come back in here on Monday, it will officially, finally be game week, ladies and gentlemen. We are excited to have some great guests on next week talking all things, you know, week zero.
Yeah, meaningful football.
Are there any other interesting games that week that you've seen?
I think Memphis and UNLV stands out as one of the big ones.
I think it is.
Well, I thought people have said it's kind of a down week zero otherwise.
I think it is. So, North Carolina TCU in Ireland, just for the theater of Belichick.
Yeah, and that's exactly the best way to characterize that, theater of North Carolina football right now, Belichick. Yeah.
Nobody really cares about NC State at Virginia.
TCU got a new quarterback because the other one went to Indiana, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, you know, it's an unranked. It's no ranked teams other than USC are playing.
That's what I'm saying. We got a chance. We're the best group of six game.
Yeah, they were smart to schedule this in week zero.
Yep.
No question about that. They knew what they were doing with that one.
Fox got a good one. You said Brando's going to be on the call?
Brando's going to be on the call.
Hopefully
we'll have him on the show here to break it all down. But yes, 9 o'clock on Saturday, obviously, on Fox is going to be the showdown for that one. Florida State plays New Mexico State. They host New Mexico State in Tallahassee. 31.5-point favorites there.
I'm starting to think Brad may not be sandbagging. When it comes to UNLV, the Athletic also has New Mexico picked over UNLV in the Mountain West. So I'm starting to think maybe Brad ain't sandbagging. That maybe he truly believes Huff going to run over these fools.
Yeah.
I believe it.
It could absolutely happen.
He's telling the truth.
They are 5.5-point underdogs, though. So we got to keep –
Well, you get points if you want to bet with
them. We do have to, keep that in perspective. But hopefully, it's wrong. Who knows? It's going to do it for us today. Thanks, of course, to Anthony Sain for joining us on the show. Thanks to Sammy P as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason and John, we're gone.